All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Ches. You can feel the excitement in the air. I'm right to only a couple of blood away from finishing this incredible Masechta. So today's shir is dedicated by Simei Malka Esterson in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok, Leben, Aaron HaKohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Hanech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family's Zeinuchama. So we are picking up 107b, three lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we discussed in yesterday's daf the idea that in the Beis HaMikdash there were a total of 13 shofros, these collection boxes. They would call them shofros. But we'll say, but again, so seven of them we identified to be used for specific needs. Six of them do not seem to be clear as to what they are being used for. So if you remember again, we're trying to figure out what were the additional six being used for. So Amar Ziiri said, so we had a couple of interpretations yesterday. One said, Keneged, the corresponding to the six Bate Avos of Kohanim, that they should have Shalom with one another. Rabbi Yochanan said, we had six Pushkas. Why? So that the money should not corrode or get erased. The images should not get erased. Ziiri Amar Keneged Parve Ego, Ayo v'keves gedi usir. So Ziiri said, Rabbi, say that's what? Remember again, you had one box corresponding to each different type of animal offering. Rashi says over here, so shamisnadev parli ola, maybe even osin the shofar. So we'll say essentially, these are all just the different types of animals that one could potentially go ahead and bring as a karban nedava. So one corresponding to the par, to the eagle, to the ayil, to the keves, to the gedi, to the seer. Find v'rebihi, d'amar katan v'hevi gadol yatzer. And we'll say this reflective view of Rebbe, who says that what? That if you're misnadev, if you pledge to give a small animal, but instead you give a large animal, that such a nedava is not sufficient. Remember again, Rebbe holds that halacha l'maisa, you have to give that which you pledged. So because of that, halacha l'maisa, they had a separate nedava box for each type of animal. Ubarpada Amar, Barpada says, Kineged aparim v'ha'ilim tapav kufches, hakvasim v'ha'si'irim, v'ha'musoros v'ha'mo. Suppose listen to this. So Barpada says that one of the boxes is for the parim. So Rashi points out over here that the parim, Rabbi Osei, ultimately again, are shel chatos tzibur. This refers to communal sin offerings, that if they ended up setting aside a communal sin offering, and halacha l'maisa, it was lost, they brought a replacement one, they then found the original one, so the replacement one is allowed to grace till it develops a mum, then it's sold off. Those monies will be placed in one of these receptacles. The Eilim, Rashi says, are the Asham Gzelos, Asham Mi'ilos, same idea, that were set aside, lost. Replacement animals were designated, original animal is found, replacement animal is allowed to graze till it develops a mum, sold off, money deposited in this pushka. Kvasim, tap of Kufchas, Rashi says, is Asham Nazir, Asham Metzora, Si'iri, or Si'iri Chatos, Shal Tzibor, Shal Regalim, ultimately again communal sin offerings, or the sin offerings of the Yamim Tovim. Mosaros, Rashi says, is Kago Misha Makriv Echar Mikolelu, Vehifrish Mos L'Shem Kach, V'Huzlu Behemos. So we'll say, this would be an interesting case of, let's say, where I set aside money to purchase any one of these aforementioned animals. And what happens? The price of animals goes down. So now I set aside $100. It turns out that what? I can go ahead and get an animal for $50. What do I do with the extra 50? You can't put it back in your pocket. Why? Because unless you already designated it. So where does it go? It goes into one of these pushkas. V'ha ma'a. Bose, it's actually very interesting. Ma'a, Rashi says over here, is kolbon. Bose, is this, I remember this is back to our shkalim days. What's kolbon, Rashi says? He says, kolbon shekol yachin maybe machsis ha-shakel b'achra ba'adar. V'im nasnu bein shneim shekel, nosnin, shekel shalim, nosnin kolbon echad ma'a kitana, mipnei ha-chra sha'achshav lo nasnu bein shneim ela ha-chre echad. V'ilu heviim kimishpatan, hayu sham shteach. Let's listen to this. The halacha is, when you brought a machzis ha-shakel, Rabbi Osei, so every Jew has to contribute a half shekel. Here's what's fascinating. We saw this detail in shkalim. You actually bring a machzis ha-shakel plus a little. See, Rabbi Osei, because coinage in the times of the Mishnah was actually like each coin was minted on its own, so there was always the concern that a coin wasn't exact. So in order to ensure that you are really giving a full half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, you give an actual machtes shekel coin, plus some small additional amount. So we'll say that's called the ma'a. Where does this come up most? This comes up most ultimately, again, if you have two people who say, listen, we'll just give a shekel. You and I, right? Me, Reuben and Shimon say, you know what, together we'll give a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So you have to give what's called the ma'a. A ma'a means that additional amount to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's an extra pushka for that. So we'll say, so now we have all these different interpretations as to what the six additional shofros in the Beis HaMikdash were used for. Now the Gemara is going to analyze each of them. Kulu kechizkiya lo amri. So we'll say the other opinions are holy chizkiya. Remember, what did chizkiya say? Why did we have six? In order that the Kohanic families should not argue. Each Kohanic family has its own nedava pushka, from where they bring nedavos for the Beis HaMikdash. The meat is consumed, the hides are theirs. So the Gemara says, no one holds a chizkiya. Why? Because it's actually so beautiful. Le'insuye lo chai shinon. Right? Kohanim don't fight. Kohanim don't fight, right? We don't assume that the Kohanim fight. Now, why not, Rabosai? The Cholchad v'chad yom ekavit. Because remember again, each Beis Av, each family gets its own day in the Beis HaMikdash. So because each family gets its own day, they have their own karbanos, and therefore they're not going to fight. Okay, beautiful thought. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan lo amri. So say ultimately again, they're not passing like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Le pushe lo chayshinon. Because they both say we're not going to set aside six pushkas for nedava money because we're not concerned about rottage or spoilage or corrosion. Corrosion. Erosion?
Corrosion.
We're not worried about the money getting messed up, right? That's right. We're not worried about the money getting messed up. Good. So the Gemara says, Kiziri lo amri. They don't paskin like Ziri. Why? Ki chidoi lo moki. Because they also remember, Ziri's opinion only works according to Rebbe, who says that if a person pledged katan and brought a gadol, that is not yotze. So the Gemara says, ki bar pad nami lo amri. We'll say, so they don't paskin like bar pad. The other opinions won't like bar pad either. Why not? So the Gemara says, mosoros, kulhu nami mosoros. Was it because in Barpada's model, you had one of the pushkas that was set aside for mosoros. Was it, what does mosoros mean? Mosoros means extra funds. All of these pushkas are for extra funds, says the Gemara. Nam ma'anami l'shkalim azla. Furthermore, again, I will say, interesting enough, in Barpada's model, so Barpada has an extra ma'a. Remember again, Barpada has an extra pushka, set aside for that ma'a. What's the ma'a again? The ma'a represents the small additional payment that accompanied your machzis ha-shekel. So in Barpada's model, there's a separate pushka that's set up for that ma'a. But say everyone else holds that what? Where was that ma'a deposited? It was deposited with the machzis ha-shekel. There wasn't a separate pushka for that. That went into the machzis ha-shekel pushka. Disanyo, leheichon kalbon zeholeich. Where does the Kabbalah say the Kalbon is that additional payment that was given together with the Machzis HaShekel? Where does that go? L'shkalim. We'll say that goes in the same pushka as l'shkalim. Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer l'nedava. Rabbi Eliezer says that it goes to nedava. Ushmuel Omer, Shmuel says, K'neged moser chatos u'moser asham. U'moser asham nazir. U'moser asham metzora. U'moser minchas chotei. Umosar asiris haifa shall kohen gadol. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, now comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel says that ultimately, again, these different pushkas are used, we'll say, for all of these different, remember again, let's say, here's what we're going with. Aside for the, remember again, two groupings of pushkas. The first seven pushkas out of these 13 were clearly marked and identified for a particular purpose. Remember from our Shkalim days, Tiklin Charetin, Tiklin Asikin, you had new Shkalim, old Shkalim. So the first seven were clearly demarcated for different needs. The issue is you have these additional six, which apparently were not clearly marked. So the Shaila is, or not clearly, or at least, not. Their identity is subject to dispute. We know that there were 13 in total. First seven, we know the remaining six are subject to some doubts. And now you have Shmuel coming along and saying, oh, you know what it was used for? Mosar chatos, mosar asham. Rav Hoshea amar, keneged mosar chatos, u mosar asham nazir, Umosar asha mitzora, umosar kinin, umosar minchas chote. So what Rabbi Oshir understands, that again, Rabbi Oshir, when we say the extra, what does it mean extra of these karbanos? So we'll say generally these cases are pretty much all the same, which is, I'm designated a karban from one of, for let's say, you could choose whatever you want. I'm designated a chatos. So we'll say, so then what? What happens? I go ahead, I designate the chatos. Animal gets lost. What do? I lose it. I designate another one. Okay, fine. It happens. I'm ready to offer up the second one, or it happens, Rabbi Osai. Right? First one comes back. Which one do I offer? Number one. What do I do with number two? So generally, in most cases, what I end up doing is allow the animal to graze till it develops some mum, sell it off, and have the money. That money is still sacrificial money. What do I do with it? Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, that's when we see that the mosar, the extra, that's how these cases come up. So you hear, yeah, you see over here, Aboshia now, and Shmuel having, again, six different pushkas, essentially set aside for these various monies. Shmuel. My time alo Omar Kraboshia. Why does Shmuel not hold the Kraboshia? To which the Gemara says, Kinin Tana Leresha. Because ultimately, again, he holds that Kinin Rabosai, the extra, the pushka for the extra money from bird offerings was part of the original seven. So the Gemara says, Raboshia, Tani Velo Tani Kinin, Vatani Raboshia Vatani Kinin. So we'll say, but Raboshia also has Kinin in the first seven. So what's happening over here? One is for Kinin and one is for Moser Kinin. So we'll say, apparently, there was, in Raboshia's model, there was one pushka that was set aside for the actual bird offerings. I guess if someone needed bird offerings. And the second one was for additional monies from bird offerings. Rabbi Oshia, my time alo Amar Kishmuel. Why did Rabbi Oshia not hold like Shmuel? Savar la kiman do Amar. Moser shal asiri sa'ifa shal klein gadol yirka. Rabbi Oshia is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Oshia, remember again, in Shmuel's model, Rabbi Oshia, one of the pushkas was set aside for additional funds generated from the asiri sa'ifa. Remember our asiri sa'ifa days? Those were good days in Menachas, asiri sa'ifa. But so remember again, asiri sa'ifa was brought twice. When was it brought? Every single coin on the day that he was inaugurated into the kuna brought an asiri sa'ifa. The klein gadol brought it when? Every single day. But remember again, it was divided up into two parts. Half was offered up in the morning, half was offered up in the afternoon. In Rav Oshia's model, I should say, excuse me, in Shmuel's model, Shmuel has one of the six pushkas, one of the six grouping, one of the six was set aside for additional monies generated from the Asiris Ha'ifa of the Kohen Gadol. We'll say, how would you have additional money set aside for the Asiris Ha'ifa? How would that happen? Simple cases. I set aside $100 to go ahead and purchase the flour and the oil and everything else. And what happens? The price goes down. So now I have additional funds. Those funds are still consecrated. So where do they go? So at least according to Shmuel, ultimately, again, they would go into one of these pushkas marked for additional funds for the Asir Sa'ifa. So why does Rav Oshia not hold like Shmuel? Because interestingly enough, Rav Oshia holds that anything that is left over from the Asir Sa'ifa Yirkov is left to rot. Disanya. Mosar minchas nedava. So mosar mincha yirkov. So let's listen to this. As the Braisa says, if you look at Rashi, not yet. Fine. We'll see. So the Gemara says, Disanya. Mosar minchas nedava. Mosar mincha yirkov. So we'll say, literally translated, the leftover of a minchas nedava, or the leftover of a mincha is left to rat. My kama, what does this mean to say? I'm going to chistachi kama, this is what it means to say. Mosar minchas chote nidava. Ultimately, again, I will say the leftover of a minchas chote. Remember again, what's a minchas chote? For certain types of infractions, so ultimately, again, if a person is poor, they could bring a mincha offering as a sin offering. So mosar minchas chote nidava. Any leftover funds, right? Any leftover funds from a minchas chote go towards nedava. Moser asiris sa'ifa shal kohen gadol yirkav. But we'll say anything left over from the asiris sa'ifa of the kohen gadol is left to rat. In other words, we'll say you're not using it for anything else. Rashi says over here, look at Rashi. So if you look, it's Rashi about six lines up from the bottom. Minchas chote shal l'shem chol v'hifrish. So remember again, those monies are separated ultimately again for obligatory offerings. Nedava, the shofros, sending leftover monies, goes into the pushka. Moser lachmei toda. I'm sorry, that's lachmei toda. We're not up to that yet. Rabbi says, afilu moser asiris ha'ifa shal kohen gadol nami nedava. So Rabbi says, even the leftover funds from the Asira Seifa of the Kohen God will also go into the Nadava Pushka. Ela Mosar Lach Metoda Yirkov. But Rabbi say anything left over from the funds used to purchase Lach Metoda, that is left to rot. Look at Rashi. Mosar Lach Metoda Yirkov. Delav Chatas Ikru. Unidavas Yochid Nami Karvi. So
we'll say, remember again, in this case, they're literally talking about the leftover loaves. Right? If there are actually leftover loaves from the Toda, there is nothing to do with those loaves. They cannot be repurposed for another carbon, and therefore they are left to rot. So the Gemara says, Biplukto. In reality, this is subject to dispute. Mosar Asira Seifa Shal Kohen Gadol. So we'll say if you have leftover, literally leftover from the Asira Seifa of the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nedav, Rabbi Yochanan says that it could be sold off and the money's used. So we'll say, so again, remember, this case over here now, we're not just talking about leftover money, we're actually talking about leftover item, leftover product. Right, there's leftover from the Asira Seif of the Kohen Gadol. So what do you do with it? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, Nadava, you could sell it off, and the monies ultimately again go towards Nadava. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Yirka, Rabbi Elazar says that it is left to rat. Meisve, the Gemara is the Kasha, for it was the first wide line, Kuf Chesam Adalif. Meisve, Moser Shkalim Chulin. The leftover of Shkalim, ultimately, again, is Chulin. I'm going to say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mosar Shkalim, Hichnis Ma'os Merubin L'Shkalim, B'Shaklan V'Nisostru Mehen. There's leftover from the Shkalim collection. So what's the halacha? Chulin, U'Mosar Asiris Ha'ifa. And I will say, anything that is left over from the Kohen Gadol is Asiris Ha'ifa. U'Mosar Kine Zovin, V'Kine Zavos, V'Kine Yoldos. And any of the leftover from the bird offerings of Zavin, Zavos, Yoldos, Vichatos, Vashamos, and Chatos and Asham, Mosrehen Nedava. Their leftovers, i.e. the monies generated from their leftovers, are put into the Nedava Pushka. My love, Mosar Asiris Ha'ifa Shal Kohen Gadol. We'll say, are we not referring to over here even the leftover of the Asiris of the Asiris Ha'ifa of the Kohen Gadol? So it shows you over here that what? That the leftovers of the Asiris Ha'ifa of the Kohen Gadol are sold and ultimately the money is deposited for Nedava. Lo, Mosar Minchas Chote. No, it's not referring to the Mosar of the Asiris Ha'ifa. Rather, it's referring to the leftover of the Minchas Chote. Amrav Nachem by Yitzchok, Mistabra Kimandamar Mosar Asiris Ha'ifa Shal Kohen Gadol Yirkov. We'll say it appears clear that we don't do anything with the leftovers of the Kohen Gadol's Asira Saifa, and rather it is just simply left to rot. This sanya, because we learned, lo yasim alea shemen, for lo yitin alea levona ki chatosi. We'll say this is by the minchas chote. If you're bringing a mincha as a chatos offering, so the pasuk says, you shall not place oil on it, nor shall you place levona on it. Why? Because it is a chatos. I'm Rabbi Huda. He kuriyachatos, the inacheres kuriyachatos. Well, this is actually very important. This minchas chote is called a chatos, but other minachos are not called a chatos. Okay, meaning what? Limit ala siris ha'efa shal kohen gadol, she'ina kuriyachatos. But what this tells us is that it's only a minchas chote that is called a chatos. Other minachos are not called chatos offering. What's an example of another mincha? The Asira Saif of the Kohen Gadol, which is offered up every single day, is not called the chatos. Because it's not called the chatos, therefore, utu'una levona. Therefore, we'll say it requires oil, and it requires levona. Umideina kuriya chatos, and because it's not called the chatos, mosra yirkov. Ultimately, again, its leftovers are left to rot. We'll say, take a look at the Rashi for just a moment. Ve'ina cheres, four lines up from the bottom, last two words on line in Rashi. Ve'ina cheres, vafa pishi chova, ena kriya chatos, shehela din chatos, shlo yitan levona. Umi de legabe levona les la din chatos, legabe mosra les la din chatos. Listen to this. The concept ultimately again of leftover monies being set aside for nedava really comes from where? Really comes from the concept of chatos. So the fact that ultimately, again, the minchas, the asiris ha'ifa of the Kohen Gadol is not called the Chatos. How do we know it's not called the Chatos? So that's evidenced by the fact that the Torah only calls the Mincha Eschoti a Chatos. Furthermore, again, if you're a Chatos, you don't get Levona. The Asira Seif of the Kohen Gadol does get Levona. It's not a Chatos. So because it's not categorized as a Chatos, therefore what? Its leftover monies are not used for Nedava. So what do you do, Halacha Lemaisa, with the leftovers of the Asira Seif of the Kohen Gadol? What do you do with it? Nirkav, it's left to rot. And we'll say, and that indeed is how the Rama Paskins, that is Halacha Lemaisa. Anything left over from the Asira Seifa of the Kohen Gadol is not sold with the proceeds going to Nedava, but rather is simply left to rot. Good. Says the Mishnah. Shor Zeh, we'll listen to this. So, still continuing along this same theme. Shor Zeh Ola. We'll say, listen to this case. Interestingly enough, so I go ahead and I say, this Shor should be an Ola. Right? This Shor should be an Ola. Okay, so we'll say, so what happens? Vinistayv, it gets a mum. So what's that locha? Imratza yavi bidam of shnayim. So we'll say, now watch this. So we'll say, so actually, this is a very important case. That, so watch, let me tell you the case and I'll explain the logic. Really is very fascinating. So I say, this shor should be an ola. Then it gets a mum. So we'll say, so what do? I sell it off. If I want to use the money to go ahead and what? Bring two shvarim. Let's say in the interim the price of oxen went down. So now I want to bring two oxen for that money. I am permitted to do so. Now, both say, now this is unique. Why is this unique? Because halacha lemaisa, right? We just saw in the previous Mishnah that generally not allowed to do stuff like this. Right? Even something as simple as if I go ahead and I say I'm going to bring a small animal and I decide I'm going to bring a large animal, at least according to Rebbe, that you can't even do that. So here it's interesting to note that I pledged an animal and yet halacha lemaisa, I'm going to be able to use the money to purchase two animals. We'll discuss why. Shnei shvarim elu ola. Similarly, again, I'll say if I pledge two animals as an ola, these two animals are an ola. Vinistavu, and then they develop a mum. Ratza yavi b'dmein echad. We'll say after it develops a mum, then I'm going to sell it off, use the proceeds to bring another carbon. If I want to, I could bring one animal. I could bring one, you know, grade A animal instead of two animals for the same price. The Rebbe Oser, and I'll say in all of these cases, Rebbe says that it is Oser. Now, we'll say, look at Asher just a moment. Rebbe Oser, L'chatchila, avalim hevi yatza, d'chevan da'amar zeh in l'chai b'ach yusuf. We'll say, Rebbe says, L'chatchila, we'd rather you not do this, but b'di'evet it works. Now, we'll say, now, why does this work? This is actually very important. Because halacha l'maisa, we're going to see something I'm going to tell it to you now. Because halacha l'maisa, if you say, shor zeh ola, this shor is an ola, and it develops a moon, Rabosai. What is my obligation going forward? None. Why? Because I pledged this animal. If this animal is no longer offerable, right, is no longer sacrificable, I have no obligation to provide a substitute animal. This is as opposed to what Rabosai, if I said, Hare Alai. If I say I have an obligation, then I have an obligation to bring a carbon. If this one develops, then we might have to bring another animal. If I said shor zeh, that means again the obligation devolved upon that animal. If that animal develops a mum, I'm actually freed from obligation. That's why technically, if I decide to sell it off and use the funds to purchase another sacrificial animal, if I want to purchase two, I want to purchase three, I want to purchase ten, I want to purchase one, it doesn't make a difference. Why? Because technically speaking, I am freed from my obligation. So Rebbe says, l'chatchila, we don't want you to do this because you may get confused with the cases in the previous Mishnah, but b'di'evet, if you do it, it works. Similarly, Ayel's Olav and Estaiv, if a person says, I hereby declare that this Ayel will be an Ola, he sets out the Vinistayv, it gets a mum. Imratza Yavi B'dam of Keves, so we'll say if he wants, he could use the money to buy a sheep. So we'll say here what's happening in this case. In this case over here, he's switching the type of animal. Keves ze Ola Vinistayv Imratza Yavi B'dam of. Ultimately, again, if he says this sheep will be a carbon, and then it develops a mum, and he wants to go ahead and what? Bring an aisle, bring a ram, so he can do so. We'll say same logic. Once it develops a mum, he's free from obligation, but Rebbe Oser. But Rebbe says, still, you shouldn't do it. Amud Beis. Ivaha Amrit Reisha, but we learned in the Reisha, meaning in the previous Mishnah, what? We learned in the previous Mishnah, Shor b'mana v'hevi shnayim b'mana lo yotza, Shor zeh v'nistayiv shanis. Well, this is actually just what we said before. But we learned in the previous Mishnah that what? That halacha l'maisa, if I go ahead and I say I'm bringing a shor worth a mana, and then I decide, you know what, to go ahead and develop, let's, something happens, and it goes ahead, and I decide to bring, I sell it off, and I bring two shvarim for the same amount, that halacha lemaisa, again, it does not work. I'm not yotzi, even according to the Rabbanon. Yet this Mishnah says that if Shvar develops a mum, I can go ahead and bring two for the price of one. Shar zeh v'nistayiv shani. I both say this case is different. Why? Because again, I'm saying shar zeh. Both remember again the very important distinction. Once I say shar zeh, the entire obligation devolves upon this animal, which means that once this animal develops a mum, then what? Both say then what? Technically speaking, I am freed from any obligation, which means if I want to pack up and go home, I'm done. Therefore, if I subsequently decide to sell off the animal, use the funds to purchase either a replacement animal or replacement animals, or for that matter, even a different type of animal, that is absolutely fine because I'm not even obligated to begin with. Shnei shvarim elu yola v'nistavu ratzi yavi b'dvein echav Rabbi Yose. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara says, let's say I pledged these two oxen should be an ola. Then they both develop a mum. If I want, I can sell it off and use the proceeds to buy one big shar. But Rebbe says it's aser. My time up. I will say ultimately, and why does Rebbe not like this? Mishum dehavile gadol vehevi katan. I will say because Rebbe doesn't like this. Why? Because this is like a case where a person pledged to bring a large animal, but instead what? Instead what? Brought a small animal. So remember again, Rebbe doesn't. First of all, everyone happens to agree in that case that it doesn't work, right? Everyone agrees. The machlokes case is where you pledge a small animal and bring a large animal. The Rabbanan say that case is fine. Rebbe doesn't like that case. So we'll say, so the problem, so again, I want to be clear. When we say Rebbe says you can't do it, as Rashi already told us, what does it mean you can't do it? What does it mean you can't do it? L'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. But of course, Rebbe agrees with the principle that when you say shor zeh, or in this case, shvarim zu, right, these shvarim, shtei shvarim elu, ola, and then it develops a mum, so even Rebbe says, if you use the money to buy one big shor, it's okay, but Rebbe the Chatzchila says, I don't like it. Why? Because halacha lemais, dehavilei gadol vehevi katan, ve'afagav, then it's stayv. And I will say, even though this is a case where the shor developed a mum, and therefore even Rebbe agrees that if you said shvarim elu, and they both develop a mum, I am freed from obligation. I did my part. The fact that the animal developed a mum are circumstances beyond my control, and therefore halacha lemaisa, I am not obligated anymore. So I could replace it with whatever I want. But nevertheless, l'chatchila lo shari Rebbe. Rebbe doesn't like this case, l'chatchila. Out the concern that you may confuse it with other similar cases, which Rebbe considers problematic. Why doesn't Rebbe? Rashi says, "V'liflog nami bereisha shar ze'olav v'nistayv yomi bedam of shnayim d'havi katan v'hevi gadol." Why doesn't Rebbe argue in the first case as well? To which the Gemara says, "You're right, Rebbe. Akulam mismilsa pligi." Well, say Rebbe really argues on the entire statement, the entire case. V'nartar luhul rabbanon. Ad demaskim el sayur. We'll say first wide line. But Rebbe was being polite. What is he doing? We'll say he was waiting to voice his argument until when? Until when? Until the rabbis finished speaking. Right? He was just waiting to finish speaking. Vahadir miflagalayu. And then again, ultimately, then he argues. Teida diktani ayil ze'ola v'nistayv. Both say the right to this is because the Mishnah says, ayil ze'ola, that this ayil is an ola v'nistayv and it develops a mum. Ratza yavi bedamav keves. Keves zeli ola v'nistayv ratzi yavi dama ba'ayol v'rebi osa. So you see over here, Rebbe didn't interject in the middle of every single case. Rather, what ends up happening is Rebbe allows the Rabbanon to voice their opinion in totality, and then after they finish speaking, then Rebbe goes in and voices his dissent. Ipailu. So listen to this. Mimina lemina mai. Look at Rashi just a moment. It's Rashi. Almost right across, Rashi's right across Magal Sabach. Lamina lamina mai, shor ze olav v'nistayv, mau sheyavi bedamav shnei elam. So listen to this. So if a person says, shor ze ola, this shor will be an ola, it develops a mum. Are you permitted now to go ahead and use the money to bring two rams? Why two rams? Well, the Gemara is just assuming that an ox is more expensive than rams. So let's say, for argument's sake, I was going to bring a shar, it developed a mum, now I have the money, can I bring two rams with that money? So the Gemara says, Tashma, shar ze olav v'nistayv, lo yavi b'dam av ayil, aval maybe b'dam av beis elim. Supposed to listen to this. Well, we have a brace that seems to indicate that if I say, this shar will be an ola, and it develops a mum, I should not bring one ram with its money, but I can bring two rams with its money. Right? Now, both said, now, why shouldn't I bring one ram? So presumably because one ram is not going to use up all of the funds from the ox, but I can use two rams, which will use up all of the funds. Rabbi Oser, Rabbi says, Lefi She'en Bila. Because both said, Rabbi says there's a problem here. What's the problem? Lefi She'en Bila, Rashi says, Shetzarach Lahavi Imam Shtei Menachos B'Shnei Kelim. So both say, here's the problem. The problem is I had originally committed to bringing one carbon. Now if I bring two elim, two rams, each ram gets its own mincha, those menachos are not mixed with each other. So the problem is I'm bringing now two different carbonos in the place of where one should have been. Therefore, Rebbe says, I don't like it. To switch, the Gemara says, Shmamina. So we'll say, so first of all, leaving aside this whole discussion, what you clearly see is the answer to our question is that Alocha Lamaisa, yes, if you pledge an animal, Hare, right, Shar Zu Ola, the Shar develops a mum. The Shah develops a mum. Then what Rabbi say? I could choose to go ahead and use the monies to bring another type of animal from that. Okay. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand what we're talking about over here. Of course you could bring two different animals. Why Rabbi say? If I say, Shor Zaola, the Shor develops a mum. The Gemara says, well, can I go ahead and bring rams from this money instead of a Shor? Rabbi say, what's the answer? Of course you can. Why? Because you're not obligated anymore. We'll say, we just got finished saying this. We just got finished saying that if you designate a particular animal as a carbon, shar zuola, and the shar develops a mum, we'll say, what's the extent of my liability? I'm done. The shar develops a mum. It's no longer good. If I choose to sell an animal off and use the money for carbonic purposes, we'll say, I can bring whatever I want. So what's the shiloh over here? My area tray, afilu chad nami. We'll say, it's not true. At the end of the day, if I said shar zu ola, the shar develops a mum, and I want to use the money to bring an aisle, I could bring an aisle, I could bring a pigeon, I could bring whatever I want because I'm no longer obligated. Chad nami don istayv. So ultimately, again, what's the determination to develop the mum? L'rabbanon lo shani le bein gadol l'katan. To which the Gemara says trei tanoi vali b'drabbanon. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says it must be that there is a machlokis tanoim over here. Look at Rashi. Trei tanoi, di'ika desvir lei afilu b'nistayv asri abanam begadol v'hevi katan l'chatchila. So I will say, so apparently again, what's at play over here is as follows. You're right. In the pure letter of the law, the halacha is that if the animal develops a mum, you're freed from obligation. But because what we are concerned about, the Rabbi say, is that if you go ahead and the animal, you pledge the shar, and you end up bringing, let's say, an aisle, we're concerned that you may come to confuse that case with what? We're in a case where a person pledges a behema gidola, right, and ends up bringing a katan. You may come to assume that that case is okay. In order to avoid that potential possibility, the Rabbanon said that if the shor develops a woman, you're going to bring another animal. You could bring a different species. But what? The value has to be the same as the original animal. So we'll say, so apparently there's a machlokas. Some say that it's correct, some say that it's not correct. Again, going back to what we saw before in Rebbe. It's a fundamental machlokas. Rebbe also lefi shein bila. So remember again, Rebbe said, I don't like this idea of you bringing two rams as a substitute, ultimately again, for the shor. Why? Because two rams comes with what? Two menachos. And the two menachos cannot be combined into one. Time of day bila. So the reason Rebbe doesn't like this is because he can't mix it together. Hayesh bila shari. We'll say, but if you were to be able to mix them together, apparently Rebbe would say it would fine. Rebbe would say it would be fine. Ayva hatnan, ayol ze ola v'nistayv. If a person says, this ayol is going to be an ola, and then it develops a mum. Ratza yom vi v'damav keves. Right? If he wants, he could bring a sheep with the money. Keves ze'ola. Similarly, again, if he says this sheep is for an ola, v'nistayv. And I will say, what happens? It develops a mum. Yavi b'dam of ayil. You can go ahead and use the money to purchase an ayil. V'rebi oser. And Rebbe says it is oser. To which the Gemara says, yoreit trei tanoi aliba de Rebbe. But say, there's a machlokes as to what the sheet of Rebbe is. U'bitahorim ega. But say, if you're dealing with an animal that's not a bamum, u'bitahorim ego v'hevi par. But say, if, let's say again, you set aside, you said, I'm going to bring an eagle. But say, an eagle is a calf. And you decide instead to bring a cow, a par. Keves, the heavy aisle. I said, I'm going to bring a sheep. And instead I bring a ram. Yotza, ultimately, again, I am Yotze. But say, why? Whose opinion does this reflect? stama kirabanan, because ultimately again, both say this would seem to reflect the view of the Rabbanan. Because we'll say, remember again, one of the major points of contention in the Rabbanan and Rebbe is what? If you pledge to bring a small animal and you end up bringing a large animal, what's the halacha? The Rabbanan say, fantastic, shkoyach, right? You increased your pledge. Rebbe will say, problem, right? Because at the end of the day, you need to go ahead and carry through on what you pledged. Even if it turns out you're bringing something more, that's not what you obligated to do. You obligated yourself to. Ratza yavi b'dam av beis, amarav nashe bar zvid amarav. Lo shanu ela da amar shar ze ola. Aval amar, shar ze alai ola. I'll say, but halach alamayse, if what? If a person says, shar ze alai. I will say, now watch this. This is actually a very interesting case here. Now, both said, the Gemara says, all these cases that we're talking about over here is where a person says, shar ze ola. So we'll say, the whole halacha of shar ze ola is, this shar is an ola, which means that the entire extent of my obligation is anchored in what? In what? In this animal. So if something happens to this animal, then what's the nature of my liability? Done. Well, it's a very important halacha. So the animal gets maimed, the animal is stolen, the animal runs away, whatever it is, I'm done. I don't have any obligation of replacement. However, aval amar, shor ze alai ola, oh, Jose, but if I say this shor alai ola, once I say alai, then suddenly what? The obligation is on me. Once the obligation is on me, then the obligation transcends any one particular animal, and ultimately, again, is in existence until I satisfy the obligation. Then hukva. Then ultimately, you know, we'll say we have an established obligation. Rashi says hukva, achriyusa alav lahavi ola achas velo shtei olos. So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa again, if I say shor ze alai ola, then lemaisa again, the halacha is, I must bring either that shor or some type of exact replacement of that shor. I, the dilma alai lahaviu ka'amar. I'll say, maybe what he's saying is, it's upon me to bring it. In other words, that I have the obligation to bring this animal, but I'm not actually coming along to establish an obligation upon myself. Ela iyit mar halki yitmar. This is chapter 7. Ram nashi yitmar zvid. Amar rav. Lo shanu ela da amar shar ze ola. Both say the halachas in the Mishnah are doing dafna with a case of where he said what? Shar ze ola. The obligation is in the shar. Inami amar shar ze alai ola. Or we'll say, even if you said shor ze alai, right? So I will say, anytime you're saying what? What's the operative phrase here? Shor ze. Shor ze. Anytime you're saying shor ze, even if you add in alai, right? We understand that statement to mean what? The obligation is anchored in the animal itself. Or I should say, the obligation devolves only upon that animal. So if something were to happen to that animal, my obligation is satisfied. Aval amar shor ze. The dom of alai, oh. Also, if I say shor ze, what does dom of alai mean? Right? Its value is upon me, then hukva. Then ultimately, again, I'll say halacha lemaisa, I have an ongoing obligation that transcends any one particular animal. And therefore, even if something were to happen to that animal, I would have an obligation ultimately, again, to satisfy my obligation with a like animal. That's the difference over here, with a like animal. So we'll say, and that is indeed codified halacha lemaisa. As long as I'm saying again, just shar zeh, or even shar zeh alai, my obligation is only upon the animal. Once I say the damav alai, that the financial obligation is upon me, then halacha lemaisa will say I'm obligated in a replacement, if the animal gets lost, remain in a replacement animal, in the same type of animal as well. Says the Mishnah. Vayter. Ha'omer echer mekiv sehagdish. Says the Gemara, Ve'echa Mishori Hegdish. So let's listen to this. I hear a different kind of case. I have a flock of sheep. Yeah, a flock, right? Good. Chevra, right? I have a flock of sheep. I'm sorry? So he says, I have a flock of sheep. And I say, one of my sheep is Hegdish. Or, Echa Mishvarai Hegdish. Or, one of my oxen is Hegdish. So I'll say, but what did I not do over here? I did not designate which one. V'hayulo Shnayim. And I had two. What's the halacha? Hagadol shebehen hekdish. Ultimately, again, the larger one is hekdish. Suppose I say again, an interesting case. So I have two, right? The larger one is hekdish. Shlosha, what if I have three? Beinoni shebehem hekdish. The middle one is hekdish. I suppose to see this distinction. So again, I made one of them hekdish, right? I did not articulate which one. If I only have two, it's the larger one. If I have three, It's the Benoni one, the middle one. Pirashti, Veni Odea Ma, Pirashti, Shivrashti. Osha Amarli Abba, Veni Odea Ma. Or both say, so, and then, what, second case. I said, I know that I designated one. But what? I don't remember which one. Or, my father told me on his deathbed, Rashi points out over here. My father told me from his deathbed that he had designated one of these animals as Hekdesh, but I don't know which one. Hagudl Shaben Hekdesh. Ultimately, again, the larger one is Hekdesh. Says the Gemara. Alma, what do you see from this? Makdish ba'ayin yafa makdish. Mostly what you see from here is that when you consecrate an animal, when you makdish something, so apparently we assume that people give generously to Hekdesh. Therefore, we'll say in the case where I have two animals, and I said, one of my animals is Hekdesh, we assume which animal is it? The larger one. It's the larger one. Sa'ima sefa, yet we'll say, look at the end of the Mishnah, benoni sheba and Hekdesh. We'll say, yet in the case of three, what's Talach in the case of three? In the case of three, it's the middle one that is Hekdesh. Sa'alma, Makdish ba'ayin ra makdish. So we have a contradiction. See, the first case of the Mishnah where I have two animals, what do we say? What do we say? It's the large animal that becomes Hekdesh. In the case of three, what do we say? It's the Benoni. So we'll say, from the first case, I see that whenever you're Makdish something, ultimately, and you always give the nicest animal to Hekdesh. Yet, from the second case of the Mishnah, it seems like when a person is Makdish, you're giving the Benoni. I will say, Benoni means what? Right, the middle animal, which sounds like ba'ayin ro makdish. So let's say, which sounds like you don't give generously to Hekdesh. So which one is it? Amar Shmuel Shmuel says, no, you misunderstood. We'll say in the second case of the Mishnah, where if you have three animals, it says you're makdish the benoni. It doesn't mean you're makdish the benoni. What does it mean? Af le benoni. It means you're makdish also the benoni. I was about to say that if I have three animals, two out of the three become kodesh. Which two? The best one and the Benoni one. Why? The legabe katan ayin yafo. Because we'll say, here's what we know. What we know is that halacha lamais, when a person is makdish, an animal, he is makdish at ba'ayin yafo. He gives generously. The shayla is, so when it's just two animals, generous is easy to define. It's the larger of the two. When it's three animals, it's harder to define how do you define generosity? Is it objective generosity and the best one on the flock? Or the Benoni is also considered to be quote-unquote generous. Legabe what? Legabe the most inferior of the three. Therefore, Benoni and best become Kodesh. Sehechi, obviously, what do you do in a case like this? Amar Rabbi Chia Barav, Mamtin lo ad sheyumam. You wait until Abba say, ultimately, again, the animal develops a mum. So you wait until the Benoni animal develops a mum, and then ultimately again you deconsecrate it, and you go ahead and you offer up the larger one. This is only if you said one of my oxen should be kodesh. Aval amar shar bishvarai hekdesh. Rabbi say, if you said an ox amongst my oxen will be kodesh, hagodol shabahen hekdesh. Ultimately, I will say, Shar Bishvarai, that automatically means the best one, the largest one, I should say, becomes Kodesh. Tura Biturai Ka'amar. Because what he's ultimately saying is, an ox amongst my oxen. Ini, is that so? If a person says to his friend, I'm giving you a home within my home, right? Home amongst my homes, Ani Mochalacha, Mar Eyu Aliyah. Ultimately, again, he gives him an aliyah. Now, we'll say aliyah means the upper apartment. The upper apartment. Actually, we'll say we're going to stop over here for today. We're going to pick up Emirat Hashem with this case. We're going to further clarify this Shor Bishvarai case, Emirat Hashem, tomorrow. Shkach, we'll say.